Some people are addicted to buying shoes. Other people are addicted to buying chocolate or food or books. My name is Kara, and I am addicted to buying organic cleaning products. That's right, folks, organic cleaning products. I can't get enough of them. Even though I can't buy them every week, I dream about them. And when I pass one in the store, I try and talk myself out of stopping to look at them, but I can't. I have to turn around and go back and look. Even if I have a tired 4-year-old in the cart, I have to go back and look. It's really kind of a sickness. I don't know what to say. I love to clean. I love it. And doesn't mean that my house is always clean, but I love the process of cleaning. And I'm more likely to clean if I have a brand new cleaning product to use. The other day, I ended up cleaning my kitchen for 2 whole hours. Yeah, that's how long it took because it was so incredibly filthy. I think I was in a process of punishing it for being so dirty. I thought, you're already so dirty, so what's the point? I'm just gonna let you be dirty. I don't know. Anyway, I got a new cleaning product and I couldn't stop. Once I started, I couldn't stop. John came home and I was standing on a chair cleaning the top of the refrigerator and he was like, "What have you been up to?" Whoa, you've been busy. And I was like, yes, I have. I completely scrubbed it top to bottom, left to right. It was wonderful. And it was all because of a new cleaner. And actually, it's not the one that I wanted to tell you about, which is funny because it's another one entirely, but two new ones that I got that I wanted to share with you guys. It's a brand called Mrs. Meyer's Cleaning Day and or Mrs. Meyer's Clean Day, excuse me. It is completely natural products. All of her products. She's got laundry stuff, dish stuff, toilet cleaner, scrubber, which by the way is really hard to find. In the organic aisle. This is the first time I found an actual scrubber, you know, like Comet or something, but it's completely natural and it even has an organic bleaching agent in it, which isn't actually bleach. It's different. I don't know. I'll have to look into that 'cause I'm not sure of the specifics, but I thought that was really interesting because sometimes you just need the bleach, you know? Like in soft scrub and those hard to get stains, and sometimes you just want to feel like it's really disinfected. So that was a nice thing to see in there. But the cool part about these products is that they have really good scents. The one that I decided on is geranium, but they also have lavender. And let me think, what was the other one? I think it was like lemon verbena or something. It was something citrus. But I really like the geranium one. It smells good. Just smell makes my house smell like potpourri. But I got the surface scrub and I got the countertop spray. So if you guys are looking for a completely natural cleaner that's not extremely expensive, you can go to your local Whole Foods store or you can go to your a lot of regular grocery stores now will carry them in their organic section. So take a look, you might be able to find it. It's Mrs. Meyer's Clean Day products, and it's good stuff. Also, if you guys want to know a cool tip, if you want to make your own countertop spray or window cleaner from scratch, you can use 1/2 cup of vinegar, 1/2 cup of water, and just a little bit of lemon juice to cut the grease, and you mix it all together in a spray bottle. And it works really well. In fact, you could just use vinegar and water if you wanted. Or you can add some of your favorite essential oils to scent it. Although I don't know how that would mix with the vinegar, but I've heard you can do that just to give it a scent. So that's another tip too. If you just don't have money to get some cleaner or you don't have the time to run to the store one day, just put some white vinegar in with the water and mix it up, and there you go. And it's a really good cleaning agent. I use it all the time on my mirrors and things. Anyway, I hope that gives you a good tip for the week. Also, I wanted to talk about headscarves. I don't know if you guys know what I mean when I say headscarves. I don't know if that's the correct term, but I just have been really into them lately. I just got one actually at Walmart for $5.97, which is a really good deal. And it's a silk and rayon. Yeah, I think it's silk and rayon headscarf that has like tassels at the end. And it's long enough that you can wrap it around your head twice and do all sorts of different things with it. It's very cute. And this is really cheesy, but I'm just going to say that I actually saw a picture in People magazine of Jessica Simpson wearing one. And I liked the way that it looked. So it gave me a tip on how to use it. But when I went online to look for more tips on how to tie a headscarf in cute different ways, I couldn't find anything. I mean, I got stuff for like the Cancer Society, of course, and I got stuff for how to tie a turban, but I couldn't really find anything for fashion scarves. So if you guys have any tips on that, please, please send them in to me because, like even with photos of how to tie them, anything, because I love different accessories like that, but I'm clueless as to how to experiment with it. I've just been kind of doing it different ways today to see how it looks because it's safe. It's the weekend. I can do it however I want. And if I look ridiculous, nobody knows but me, well, and my husband and my son, but they don't care. So anyway, yeah, please share your ideas on that. It's a very cute accessory. Speaking of very cute, have you guys seen the movie Narnia? I just saw it last night for the first time. This is going to sound really strange, but did anybody else find Mr. Tumnus really cute? Like, for a faun or whatever he was? I'm like, obviously he's not really a faun, but if you just took away the faun nose and the faun legs, like, he'd be a good-looking guy. It was pretty interesting. And I thought the kids were really cute too. They did good casting with that movie. And I still haven't read those books, but I'm very familiar with them because my sister and my brother read them all the time growing up and would tell me parts of it. And I, of course, saw the old movie way back from the 70s or something. So, anyway, it's a good movie. Check it out. And one of these days, I'm going to get to reading those books because I think it's a really good story. Next, I wanted to talk about knitting. And I have here an email from Jennifer Stewart. And first of all, I just want to say thank you to everybody for sending in emails to me. Man, I was so excited when the next day I started getting emails from you guys and just such positive feedback. It makes me feel so good inside that, like, that you guys are actually enjoying this and that you're interacting and that it's becoming your thing too, because that's how I want it to be. I don't want it to be just, my thing. Here I am talking to myself. I feel so much better having you guys to interact with. So thank you very much. And I actually got a lot of emails talking back with me about sewing. And I really appreciated that. We got some interesting comments. And I just wanted to read something about sewing here by Jennifer Stewart. She said, "I totally know what you mean about sewing being a dying art. I have tampered with quilting, and unless you have a pro by your side, it's impossible. These days I'm doing knitting, which I must say is great. Have you tried knitting? You probably enjoy it. It's very portable, no machines to fix, and you can make some gorgeous stuff. Plus, it's easy to get out and put away while my little girl is napping or occupied on something. No big prep time needed, just a cute little pink bag with two knitting needles and half a scarf made. I recommend knitting." And I really enjoyed that. Yes, I actually do knit and crochet, and I love both. And you're right. Like, you can basically make anything that you set your mind to, and you can do it in just a couple hours and not have to worry about any technical problems. So it's a wonderful thing. I think I started knitting about a year and a half ago, and I started crocheting about 5 years ago. My grandma and my mom actually were the ones who taught me when I was little, but all I could remember doing was just a chain. And so when I decided that I'd like to try my hand at that again, I actually went online and found free knitting, or first, it was free crochet instructions. And I don't know if you guys know this, but there's great resources online that give you step-by-step pictures and instructions, and they're very clear and very helpful. I found to that crocheting was easier to pick up right away, but knitting took me a long time. I kept trying it, and it's hard because it's not just one stitch at a time. It's a whole bunch of stitches in a row, and you can't separate that. If you drop one stitch, it's really hard to get it back again. Well, it's getting easier now that I'm starting to understand knitting, but at first it was very difficult. And I just kept messing up at it, and I didn't understand why, because I was trying to do the ribbed look, you know. If anybody knows knitting, it's knit one, purl one, or knit two, purl two, that kind of idea. And what it does is it gives that raised and lowered look, like on the cuffs of your sweaters. And I could not do that for the longest time. I could only do one type of stitch at a time. And I finally figured out what was wrong. It was one little thing, and the whole thing would be thrown off by this. But what I was doing is that when I would switch back and forth between the knit and purl stitch, I needed to bring the string from the front, or bring the string to the front for purling and bring it to the back for knitting. And that sounds like an obvious thing, but I didn't understand that I had to do that in between each stitch. Like, I knew that I had to do that when I would start a new row. But once I figured out that I just needed to bring the string forward before making a different stitch, or bring it to the back, it worked. I was like, man, it was that simple. And yet it took me a year and a half to figure it out. And every single instruction booklet that I'd ever read just did not include that little pointer. And I think it was actually a knitting kit that I got from Lion Brand that mentioned that. And when I found that, I was like, now I understand. And I was like calling my mom and calling John at work, and you won't believe it. And of course, you know, he's probably like, okay, great, you know. But it was a major triumph for me, because once I got that, then I could do so many other things with knitting, and it's been really enjoyable since then. And I've been able to make hats and scarves and slippers, whatever. There's been purses, whatever. There's been a lot of different things. Right now I'm making actually an apple hat for toddlers. And I got that from lionbrand.com. And that's a great, great website if you want to go to that for free patterns. They always have tons and tons of free patterns. And they're very easy to look through, and you can print them off. And it's great. I have a whole binder filled with free patterns. So it's a fun place. It's lionbrand.com. And, and they also have free instructions on there for how to knit and crochet. And you can get a free weekly, email newsletter from them. If you just scroll all the way down to the bottom, there's a highlighted link, and, you can sign up for free newsletters there. And they just give you different tips and tell you about different yarns and new patterns and all that kind of stuff. So those are three free things for you right there. Free instructions, free patterns, and free weekly newsletter. It's a pretty good deal. Okay, another thing about sewing, I wanted to share something from Jill Spears that she wrote to me about machine sewing. And I thought it was a pretty funny little story. And she follows up with advice, And she follows up with some good advice. So Jill says, I wanted to tell you about my machine sewing experience. When I was little, my mom sewed many of my clothes. She's a whiz with a sewing machine. She even saved her old sewing machine for me to use when I got older. Well, in my sixth grade home economics class, one of our projects was to sew a pair of shorts. Can I just say that I'm so jealous that you guys get to do sewing and home economics? Growing up in California, we didn't have the funding for that. It sounds like poor me, woe is me, but it's the truth. We never got to learn sewing or any of that. So when we moved to Wisconsin, you know, all the girls here know about sewing, and I don't even know what else, like whatever you do in home ec. But I just think that's the coolest thing. I'm so glad that people are still being taught that in school. Okay, she goes on to say, I was excited because I thought if my mom could sew, then it would be pretty easy for me. I couldn't have been more wrong. I ended up sewing my shorts a little crooked, and the teacher yelled at me in front of the whole class. I was so embarrassed that I never wanted to see a sewing machine or that teacher again. I'm so sorry that that happened to you. Poor Jill. I can't imagine. I would be so embarrassed. And I probably would have stuck up for you. I would have been that friend. Because that was not a nice thing for the teacher to do. As I've gotten older, I've noticed that I become more like my mom every day, don't we all? Which is a very good thing because my mom is an amazing person. A few years ago, I found I really wanted to try sewing again. My mom was so happy. She bought me the sewing machine she saved for me and gave me some basic instructions. For Christmas that year, I made placemats and table runners for all the women in my family. I picked material according to each of their styles, so it was personalized. Everyone loved the gifts, and my mom was so proud that I finally enjoyed sewing. Even though I had to start making the placemats and table runners in the summer to have enough time to finish before Christmas, I found it was a fairly easy project that I could handle without getting frustrated. I haven't attempted any clothes yet, though. Maybe someday I will be brave, but until then, I'm happy knowing I accomplished something. So my advice is to practice machine sewing on an easy project like placemats. I think it helps you get the feel of the machine and sewing in general and save some frustration if you're a beginner. And maybe you can be more creative with them since you're a very artsy girl. Thanks, Jill. I think that that is a great, great word of advice there. I had a lot of people write in expressing their frustration also with a sewing machine. And I kept wishing that I had some constructive thing to share, you know, try this. But here we go. Through Jill, we have something good that we can try out that'll help us to not get so frustrated at the machine, because let's face it, straight lines are like the easiest thing you could do. And it'll help us to get a better feel of our machines, I think. Because I know that my pedal is very strange. Like, it's very, very sensitive. Like, you'll push on it and nothing will happen, and then you'll barely push down further and it'll be really fast. Which probably means it's not a very good machine, but that's okay. At least it works. But I think I'm going to try this. I love homemade gifts. I love receiving homemade gifts. I love giving homemade gifts. Last year, I gave homemade soaps, and the year before that, I gave homemade hats and scarves. So it's a fun thing. And I can tell you, like, when I'm making those items, I sit there and I actually think about the person that I'm making them for, because I try and make it customized, just like Jill did with, I almost called you Dill, sorry. Just like she did with the placemats and table runners. She tries to think of the person that she's giving it to and what that person would enjoy and like. And I think that's such a wonderful idea. And I think I might just have to use that this year. So I hope my sister will forget about that if she's listening to this and just pretend to be surprised. Okay. Thank you for that, Jill. Here we have a little audio feedback from Liz.
Hey, Kara, this is Liz from Kansas. I was just calling to say that I really liked your first episode of An Old-Fashioned Girl. I'm a huge fan of your Stars Hollow podcast, and I heard about this one, and I thought I just had to check it out. I totally understand what you're saying about the sewing. My grandma bought me a sewing machine not too long ago, and I never know what to do with it. I try to buy the beginner patterns and from the store, and they just never work out the way I want them to. And I keep saying that I'm going to try to pull out my sewing machine and sew more often. I just never have time because I'm in school and I just am so busy. But anyway, I loved your first episode. I'm going to have to pick up that shoe book because it sounded totally awesome. I love the show. Keep up the good work. Bye.
Thanks, Liz. I hope today's tips help you out with that. Hang in there, okay? And I'm glad that you're going to check out that book. It's a great one, and I hope you write in and tell me which shoe you are. Next, I have an assignment for you guys. I'm going to start giving you guys weekly assignments, and it's a fun thing. I wanted to share cool ways to make curly hair straight and straight hair curly. Jennifer Stewart also wrote to me about, let me find it here. She also made a comment about CHI, which is a flat iron. She said, I just bought a CHI since my hair is curly and frizzy. I'm absolutely loving the CHI. Definitely worth the extra dollars. I'd recommend it to anyone. I don't have super curly hair, but I do have wavy hair. And it's weird because I've always thought that my hair was super straight, except for like a little bit of wave underneath, which was really frustrating because then no matter how hard I'd try and blow dry it and straighten it, like I just have this frizziness underneath. And I would get so frustrated because I would rather just have completely curly or completely straight. But I've really learned to love it. And the reason I've learned to love it is because just this year, I finally embraced my natural hairstyle. I got it layered and I'm wearing it a little bit longer so you can really see the underneath layers. And it was funny because when I was at the hairstylist and I got it cut that way, she turned me around so I could see in the mirror and she was like, oh my goodness, look at all these curls that you had hiding under there. And I was like, I was shocked to see how they just sprang right up. It was wonderful. And she used a wonderful product. It's by Matrix. It's Matrix Curl Life. And it's the spiraling spray gel. And so I ended up getting that and I really love it. What I do is I just spray it in my hair when it's wet and then scrunch it up, let it kind of air dry for a few minutes, and then I get my diffuser and diffuse my hair while I'm scrunching it. And it sounds really 80s, but it's adorable when it's done. Like, even though I do say so myself, I love it. And it makes me feel good about myself. Like, when you have a good haircut, you feel good. And when you don't have a good haircut, you just feel crappy all day. Like, that's how I feel. Like, I'm totally conscious of it. And I only get my hair cut once every 6 months about, but when I do get it cut, I feel a lot better and just cleaner, more put together, you know. And so that's the product that I use. Another one that's really similar is Fructis Style Curl Shaping Spray Gel, and it's a little bit less expensive, but it does the same thing. I don't like the feel as much as I love the Matrix one, but it does a good job too. So I just use one of those sprays with a diffuser and a wide tooth comb, because if you have wavy hair, and they say you're not supposed to brush it very often, wavy or curly hair, you're supposed to use wide tooth combs, and that keeps it from getting damaged and frizzy. So those are my tips, but so that's for wavy hair, but I want to find out how you guys straighten your hair. Like, Jennifer uses her flat iron, and I want to find out how other people treat their hair when it's curly. I know my sister and I talk about this a lot, about different ways to style your hair. So I think a lot of people would probably appreciate tips with that. All right, well, that concludes today's show. Thank you so much for being great participants, everybody, and I hope you have a great week, and I can't wait to talk with you again. Bye. Thanks for listening, ladies. You can visit my website at anoldfashionedgirl.wordpress.com or write to me at anoldfashionedkara@gmail.com. Have a great day.